His love never fails, it never gives up, and it never runs out on me or all of you. You are here seeking God today. That's what you're here to do. You're not here to seek Jeremy Harrell or LFA. You're here seeking God. And if there was no Rise Up, you would be doing your best to seek God in another way. You want to know why? Because God is calling you, and you're hearing it, and you're listening. It's kind of like that book, Jesus Calling. Jesus is calling you. That is why you are seeking God today. So whether you're accompanying me on my journey with Jesus, while you're on your own journeys, or you're watching somebody else, or listening to another teacher, or spreading the gospel, you are seeking Christ. From the moment you wake up to the moment you close your eyes at night, you are not only seeking Christ, but you're acting like Christ. You're learning about Christ. You're teaching about Christ. You're asking Christ for guidance. And when you get that 3-in-1 relationship and you are fully aware of the Trinity, the triune, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the egg shell, the yolk, and the white, all one but three different parts, you can't wait to get up to seek God and to seek Christ. And when you close your eyes at night, you can't wait to receive what God gives to you in those nighttime hours. Your love never fails, and it never runs out on me. I never get sick of it. I can never get enough of it. But I am also completely fulfilled. How are you full but want more? That's what we are in the Word of Christ. We are full every day, but we still seek more. That is when you know that you're becoming a biblical Christian. And not just a cultural Christian that we talked about yesterday. Not just a traditional Christian because your mom, dad, grandpa, and grandma were. No. You're a biblical Christian, and you are maturing when you are seeking God every day, but you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And a matter of fact, Rachel Hawk, good morning, said, "That's true. I'm up at 6 a.m. for Rise Up. I jump up out of bed." Amen. Amen. Good morning, L. Dooley. Good morning to Kong. Kong is in the building, everybody. Bless Kong and say hello. He donated $10 for our show this morning and our efforts. Thank you so much. Angel Girl, hello. I'd like everybody to please check out Ashley Garland's business in the comments below as well. She's struggling and trying to pitch in and help her husband bring in some more income for their family. I'd like to say hello to Kristen Donovan and the boys. Good morning. Lolo D, good morning to you as well. Mustache, Tina Hanley, Jennifer, 1333. River Rat is still here with us. Barb Naylor in the building. Loki Lanny is here. Been watching since the Facebook days. Never got a shout out. God bless you and I love you. Thank you very much. Cindy, God bless you. Rodney, how you doing, man? New Hampshire's loss is Iowa's gain. Love you guys. Well, I'm going to have one foot in both worlds. I'm going to be here in this studio with Eli once a month or so, or especially during campaign season and things like that. And I'll be out there the rest of the time. Bernadette says, sometimes I miss because I can't always find it, which is odd because it's always, whatever show is live is not only always featured on the top of the channel, but you can also get there from many different websites. So make sure that you're trying all of those when you're having a hard time. MDUS said, great show yesterday, Jeremy, and every day. Well, thank you so very much. Kittenhead said, you said thank you to me yesterday. Kelly Gagnon. All right, Kelly. Well, God bless you. I'm glad I know your actual name. Shishu says, Mom is gone. I am so lost. Well, you're not lost if you're in Christ, if you're seeking Christ. You've been found. You're not a lost sheep anymore. You're not that one lamb who strayed. You've been found. So you're not lost. You're sad. You're mourning. But you're not lost because you know what you're doing right now? You're here seeking what you cannot get any longer from your mother in the flesh. And you're going to the one place you can get it. So you're not lost. You're here. You're actually right on course. And I'm so sorry that you're going through that. So many of us are about ready to go through that ourselves. You know, I maybe, hopefully not for years to come, but our parents are getting older. Eli's father is older. His mother's older. My parents are getting older. Barb Naylor says, I'm very grateful for Jeremy and your journey. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. Many blessings. All boats rise. Jeremy, I see our highlighted names are back today. Beautiful. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I titled the show, No Need for Them. Who am I talking about? Well, let's get to the description of today's show. While you guys continue to sign in, rumble, and share, Rise Up episode number 351. By the way, check your newsletters. Every one of you should have that follow the newsletter should have gotten a newsletter. If Jesus is chief priest, then there is no need for rabbis. If Jesus is chief priest, there's no need for popes or priests. If Jesus is chief priest, then there's no need for imams, no need for gurus, because Christ is exclusive in his authority. Let's talk about that today. Please join me live and invite your friends, families, and enemies to join us live so we can spread the gospel and not the gossip today. Now, does that mean that there is no room for teachers, people who are teaching and spreading the word and helping other people out when they need it and being a rock for them? No. That is what God calls us to do. That is what Jesus wants us to do in his absence, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. But there is no need for rabbis, popes, priests, gurus, and imams when you have the chief priest in heaven who's already been here, who's already told us what to do, who's given us everything we need to know right there in black and white in the Bible. Eli, Jamie Terrell is in the building, says, love you and Eli. Y'all are doing such a great job. Keep up the great godly work. I'll tell you what. Neither of us, neither him nor I, thought that we would be able to do this long term. As a matter of fact, Eli will tell you that I said, I'm only doing that. What did I say, Eli? What was the years that I said I was going to do this for? It's five? Said I was going to do it for 5 years tops, right? I told Eli, when I started doing this, that I'm only doing this for 5 years. Then Eli joined the business, and I said, I'm only doing it for 5 more years. Now I'm never going to say that ever again, because I will do this job as long as God wills me to do it, and you are here to help me. When that day goes, I'll follow whatever God wants me to do after that. But we committed ourselves to do the best job we could do in getting out the truth, getting out God's word, and that we would give it our all, 110% every day for as long as God wants us to do it. That is what I've committed. That's what he's committed. That's what my wife has committed. So I'm just here. And I thank you guys for your compliments. Now, somebody said, I'm going to make a lot of Catholics mad today. It's not my intention. My intention is not to make anybody mad. My intention is to preach what God puts on my heart on a daily basis. And I made a conscious decision last night that, you know that saying that your mom used to say, or your grandma or your teacher, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Well, I'm going to kind of apply that to the live chat from now on. If I see something not nice, then I'm not going to respond to that not nice at all. Because last night I realized, after all this time that I've been doing that and getting better at it as I go, that's the devil. And he understands where my weakness is. And my weakness is standing up for my beliefs and being that voice of opposition for people who are clearly trying to get a rise out of me or trying to start a fight in the chat. And then it festers and grows and multiplies. Remember the hook, the iniquity that we talked about? I'm no longer going to do that. Because if something is said in this chat that's not nice, Eli will just take care of it. Because I'm not going to feed off of the negativity any longer. Only because I can't. Because it causes harm to all of you, this channel, and my soul. Eli, you see that? Tina Monty just donated $100 to us and said, God bless you all. God bless you. $100 is like $1,000 10 years ago, so I know it's difficult. And I appreciate that more than you know, especially with our monthly recurring down so much. Jeremy, I'll do it for you. There you go. Kong says it steals your time. It steals God's time too. And yours. It steals all of your time as well. I want to donate, but hard times here. You don't worry about that. You just keep on being right here with us on this journey. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, KC22. I know you all have. I know. Lord and Heavenly Father, today is such a wonderful and beautiful blessing of a day. And I want to personally give you thanks today for revealing truths to me that I already knew, but I just never really applied or never spent much time applying. And today we're going to do that. We're also going to discuss today how so many Christians cherry pick or change the word of God to fit their agenda and fit their need and not the other way around, which is what we're commanded to do. We're going to be going through the book of Matthew today, Lord. And I pray that every soul that needs to hear this message today, no matter how many, 1 or 10,000, are directed here according to your will, so that we can have fellowship together and worship you in all your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get into this. I titled today's show, No Need for Them. And I put it in the chat very specifically. No need for rabbis, popes, priests, imams, gurus, or any of those things, because we have Jesus. Now that sounds very ignorant or uninformed to say until we get to the end of the show today. Here's all my notes. See my notes? Front and back. Very bad scratch, chicken scratch handwriting. But when I'm on, I'm on. And I'm on one right now. So what I'm going to need you guys to do is open your Bibles to Matthew 2. Open up your newsletters. If you don't have a Bible with you for whatever reason today, and we'll go to the newsletter and then we'll dive deep into today's message. All right? I want to read Matthew 2, 1 through 12 first. All right? Bear with me. Actually, bear with God. Eli KC22, another $100 donated to us. Use this towards family meal during your move. So proud of you. Oh, man. You know, when you guys donate to the company and to the show and to the efforts, it's very, very much appreciated. But when you donate to help like my family or lunch to me and Eli, which you definitely don't have to do, that's a blessing. And that I thank you for so much. God bless you. Thank you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born of the Jews? Now, another word for these wise men is magi, okay? And in the complete Jewish Bible, that's what we're going to call them, is magi. But I'm reading from ESV right now, okay? Saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people in the land. So that means he went out and he assembled a team of all the people who knew the word of God, because he clearly did not. He clearly did not. So he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people in that land, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And then they quoted, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. The Magi, he asked them. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may come worship him too. We're going to stop right there. Now, reading through the Bible and reading through these messages, there is a lurking antagonist that resembles so many so-called Christians today. Basically, those who have head knowledge, but have not changed their heart. You can memorize all the scriptures on earth. You can know the Bible from the beginning until the end. And if you are just consuming it for head knowledge, but you never have a change of heart, that describes most Christians today. In Matthew 2, the Magi show up, the wise men, in Jerusalem, asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews, which we just spoke about? What does Herod do? Well, we just read it. He assembles and asks all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and guess what? They have the answer. Not only do they have the answer, they know the word of God, so they have the truth. Herod asks them, and they give him the right answer. They give him the proof, they give him the evidence, and they give him the truth when he asks for it. Thank you, Stretch J. Mister, for the $40, says lunch on me today, Eli. Well, Eli, it's going to be a nice hot day today. I don't think we can get away from the studio very long, but oh boy, would it be nice to have lunch and drive some golf balls at the driving range. Me and Eli don't get very, we see the sun out and we don't get to see the sun other than when we look out the window and see the sun out. So maybe we'll take you up on that offer and go have lunch and do that today. Thank you so very much. So Herod asks them. They give him the answer. It happens to be the correct answer. They know the word of God. And they say, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they tell Herod the exact place. But here's where it gets crazy. Jerusalem is only about 5 miles from Bethlehem. It's not even a half a day's walk for them. But notice in the Bible that we don't see one chief priest or one scribe go with the Magi or go with the wise men. Now, you would think this is the moment that everybody in the world, in that region, has been waiting for. The King of the Jews is born. The Messiah is coming to save all of us. They had the prophecy, which they clearly say they lived by, the Old Testament, the scriptures of the Torah. You have the Magi, the wise men, coming and saying, he's been born. You assemble all of the chief priests and scribes in that region who know the law, know the word of God, know the prophecy, who actually validate and confirm the wise men, the Magi, are correct, that a king would be born here. Here's the prophecy that says that would lead up to it. And we have this. So you would think that the chief priests and the scribes, maybe not Herod, but at least the people who've been studying the law and the word of God their entire life, would be desperate to jump on a camel or a donkey and go. Or a Democrat, same thing. You would think that would be what the first thing that they think of is, we have got to go see this for ourselves. But not one goes. Huh. Weird. But how many have the facts today and the scriptures today, the prophecies today, but refuse to follow them or the Savior, Jesus Christ the Messiah? Here's the even more crazy part about that. You ready for this? Now let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 11 to be exact. And let's read through that. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told their chief priests all that had taken place. Now we are forward in time quite a bit. Thank you, Mr. Kittenhead, husband of Kittenhead. Use where needed. God bless you for the donation, sir. We appreciate that. Passing the plate, right? Thank you so much. So now we've moved forward ahead in time quite a bit. And these same men show back up. Here they are again, the same people. Let's listen to this. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, quote, tell the people that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. They stole his body. Okay, perfect. The reason why we fast forwarded all these years from when Jesus was born and you had Herod and the chief priests and the scribes and all of these people, these same men show back up years later, now in Matthew 28. And this time they bribed the soldiers to tell the people that his disciples came by night and stole him away while they were asleep. Do you understand the parallel here between those two portions of Matthew with those same group of men? At Christ's birth, they told seekers, people looking for him, where to find Christ. The scribes, the priests, Herod, all the smartest people of that time, all the people who studied the law, at his birth, they told everybody where to find him, exactly where to find the Messiah. At his death, they bribed soldiers to lie so that seekers might not find the Christ. Why? What happened? Well, let's think about it. If Jesus is the risen Lamb of God, there is no need for another sacrifice. If Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in a manger in Bethlehem, is the risen Lamb of God, not only is there no reason for another sacrifice, the curtain has been torn. There is no need for the temple as they know it anyway. And we have a high priest in the heavens now and forever. They were okay with the word of God when it lined up with their agenda. You see that? But when it threatened their agenda, when the word of God threatened their status quo, their stand, their stature in life, who they were, their titles and their labels, well, there was a problem with that. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like Christians today. Sounds a lot like the churches today. But it sounds a lot like a lot of the politicians today. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, the Mitch McConnell's, the Kevin McCarthy's. They use the word of God. Well, remember when COVID happened and they locked everyone down and they said, well, real Christians, if you were Christ, you would love thy neighbor. Jesus would never kill grandma. Jesus would not put anybody in harm's way. It says in Matthew 13, 15. It says in Luke 31, 24. They all quote scripture when it lines up with their agenda. But the minute that it does not, oh, they run, don't they? And again, not just the politicians, Christians in your everyday life. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be condemned. They don't want to look at themselves and say, I am wrong. I am on the wrong side of history here. I have all the knowledge in the world of the Bible, but my heart has never been changed. We don't need them. Do we need somebody in our community to help us learn? Yes. But why can't it be all of us helping each other learn? Jesus is the ultimate teacher. There's nothing wrong with a pastor, I guess. There's nothing wrong with a leader of a spiritual fellowship community. I don't think there's anything wrong. Jesus was a teacher. But we have everything we need from Jesus, in the book, in the 66 books, from Genesis to Revelation, and especially the four Gospels. We have everything that we need. We don't need an intervention. We don't need somebody to intercede for us. Do you want to know why? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for you to God. That's right, sanctified. We talked about that yesterday. They were first called Christians in Antioch. That's right. And here's what I, and now you guys know my stance on a lot of things, and you guys don't agree with me. I understand that. Like when I said that day that I don't think pastors or priests or anything should be paid. I don't think that that should be a paid position. I'm not, doesn't mean I'm right. That's just my personal opinion. I have learned more in my journey with Jesus right here every day with all of you, the book, the 66 books, the Holy Spirit, God my Father, Jesus my Savior. I have learned more in my time alone and with you guys than I've ever learned in church. Not to say you shouldn't go, I'm just making a point. And that I ever learned at a retreat or that I ever learned anywhere else. Now, is part of that my fault? Maybe. Maybe it was my, I got to do it my own way. Pride, maybe. But the fact is that I learned more here daily with all of you than I ever did from a priest, from a reverend, from a pastor. So, is it nice to have them? Look, God didn't need to create human beings. He wanted to. He wanted to. He wanted to share that with people. And he gave us everything that we need in order to have a relationship with him. We even have a conscience. Now, same thing with church. Do we need to go to a church? Do we need to be around other Christians? Not for savior, not for saving purposes, no. But for fellowship and growth, yes. And my point in all of this, ladies and gentlemen, is not to say you don't need someone to teach you the word of God. That's not my point in all of this. My point in all of this is God provides everything that you need in his word to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Now, if somebody helps you get closer with Jesus, God bless that person. But my whole point in today's show is you don't need to rely on me. You don't need to rely on your pastor. You don't need to rely on the Pope. You don't need to rely on a priest. You don't need to rely on an imam or a guru. You only need to, and you get to, I should say, rely on Christ and what he did on that cross and the Holy Spirit that guides you daily. And the reason, again, for this is there's so many people out there that think that they need somebody like that. It's a blessing to have somebody like that, but you don't need it. You got this. You can do it on your own. But here's the main message of today's show is do not be careful if you have a lot of people giving you the gospel from different points of view. What happens is you yourself will start, I don't want to say it that way, because that's, I mean, you want as much word as you can get, right? Anybody's preaching the gospel to you is a great thing. What I don't want to happen is something that I did for all of you who might be also on your journey, somewhere in the same vicinity as the journey I'm on with Jesus, is this. It's very easy to bend the word to fit your agenda, and it's very hard to bend your ways to fit Christ's agenda. And the more people you have in the mix, the harder it is to rely on Christ alone. The more people that you are bending ears to and getting conflicting points of view, that's the devil. When that happens, and I know that there are so many in this chat right now who have this issue, go to God. Don't go see a priest. Don't go see a pastor. Don't go see a pope. Don't go see an imam or a guru or a whatever. Go to God. That is where you're always going to get the right answer, the holy answer, the righteous answer, the only answer. That's where you're going to get love, compassion, kindness, understanding, wisdom, all of that. Do you know what you can't get from all those people that I just said? All of that stuff. That's it. That's... Lolo says, I've been needing direction on this topic. So have I. So have I. Has anyone seen Savvy Granny? I have not. Not for a little while. Hope she's okay. It's really an amazing, when you go from Matthew 2 to Matthew 28, and you see what these people in power do to hold that power, and what you see these churches that have become businesses. And I'm not saying all churches are like that. And I understand churches need funds and income in order to operate. Nobody understands that better than me. But when the love of money makes the church a business, and then you sit there, and I know so many churches that go, how are we going to make it? How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it? Fearing that they're not going to have enough income, that's when it's become a business, because you should have no fear. God said, if I supply what the birds and the sparrows of the air need, how much more will I supply for you? And I've seen so many and heard so many churches worried and just basically distraught at the fact that where are we going to get our income from? That's when it becomes a business. And that is when you got to be very careful about who is teaching you the word and why. I can go into a middle of a field, and I could have 1,000 people come, and we could preach the word together, and we could have fellowship. There doesn't need to be a donation. These donations that came in today, these are blessings. I would do this without it. If I lost LFA TV tomorrow, and there was not enough money coming in, and we're almost there. I'm just telling you that. We're almost there, because our bread and butter was our recurring monthly donations, and we're under 50% for the first time ever. So if that day comes, which it's the Lord's day if that is, I will still do Rise Up. I will still have my moment with God every morning with people who want to join in and be on a journey with me. And I'd do it for absolutely free. I'd do it before I went to work with whatever job I got. I have made that decision. Because here with all of you, my nose in the word, that is when I learn the most. That is when I grow the most. God is not a God of confusion. Trust him only, said LJ and K3. Mwah. Couldn't have said it better. Couldn't have said it better. Walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we noticed, and we left the church, said Aussie Mom. Again, some of you might have wonderful, beautiful churches that preach the word of God and have no fear whatsoever, but most of us don't have those churches. Most people do not. There is so much death and evil here, said Sharon. Talking about in your town or on earth? Bernadette said, Gospel of John says God is the word. Go into the word. What's that say? Going to the word of God is going to God. That's right. That's right. I have a... Yesterday, there was no Living Waters or no Ray Comfort video to give you, but we've got one now. So without further ado, you know we have to have at least 2 Ray Comfort videos a week. Without further ado, I'd like to go there right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray Comfort.
When you look at the world, what gives you hope?
This world has no hope in their death, so this is a wonderful opportunity for the Pope to speak of the glorious hope of the gospel. Let's see what he says.
Todo.
Everything.
Uno ve tragedias.
You see tragedies.
Pero ve,
but you also see so many beautiful
tantas
things.
Cosas lindas. Uno ve madres heroicas.
You see heroic mothers.
Hombres heroicos.
Heroic men. Men who have hopes and dreams.
Mujeres que miran
women
adelante.
Who look to the future.
Eso a mí me
that
da
gives
esperanza.
Me a lot of hope.
La gente quiere vivir.
People want to live.
La gente
people
va
forge
adelante.
Ahead. And people are fundamentally good.
Buena.
That's just not true. Listen to what Jesus said. No one is good but one, that is God. So who's lying? The Pope or Jesus? They can't both be speaking the truth. Make sure you watch until the end of this video to see the Pope tell another whopper that's directly opposed to the Bible. Then watch something that will blow your hair back. So why did Jesus die on the cross if I'm a good person and I can make it to heaven on my goodness?
Because there are some people who aren't good people, and he died to help those people out.
God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. Do you believe that?
I do.
So how are you going to do on that day? Are you a good person?
I am.
Are you a good person?
I like to think so.
Are you a good person?
I am.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
What about you?
Sam, a lot.
Ever stolen something, even if it's small, irrespective of its value in your whole life?
Yeah.
So you're a lying thief?
I wouldn't say that.
I would if you'd stolen something and you told lies. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You still think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Ever use God's name in vain?
Oh, you know, curse word, but yeah.
Do you love your mum?
I do.
Would you ever use her name as a curse word?
Never.
No, because you respect your mum.
Right.
You don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken this holy name and used it as a cuss word. It's called blasphemy, guys. So serious in the Old Testament, it's punishable by death. Do you still think you're a good person?
I do.
Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I have.
Yeah.
So here's a quick summation. Braylon, you've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you're self-righteous and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're like the rest of us. So if God judges you by those 10 commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I guess I'd be guilty.
Like the rest of us?
Yes.
Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
Yes.
It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal that's committed murder, but he keeps saying, Judge, I'm a good person. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And Rachel's sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given us the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence that God is deadly serious about sin. So if you're guilty on Judgment Day, would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, I would hope that I would be forgiven for my sins and I'd go to heaven.
Well, the Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. So you're in big trouble. You've earned your wages. Do you know what God did for guilty sinners like you and me so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
He died for our sins.
So here's your dilemma. You're under God's wrath, heading for hell. Jesus died for our sins. How can that help you 2,000 years later? Yeah, he died for our sins. Almost everybody knows that, but they don't know this. And Rachel, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The 10 commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. If you're in court and someone pays your fine, the judge will let you go. If you say, Judge, I'm guilty, and someone pays your fine, he'll let you go. And it's legal, even though you're guilty, because your fine was paid by another. Well, God can take the death sentence off you all because of what Jesus did on that cross in paying our fine and then rising from the dead. And all you have to do to find everlasting life, according to the Bible, is repent of your sins and trust alone in Jesus. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Is this making sense?
Yes.
And you'll never repent while you think you're a good person. Why would you?
And people are fundamentally good.
You'll never be sorry for your sins while you think you're a good person. But today you've heard the Ten Commandments and how God has seen your thought life and seen how serious sin is in God's eyes, and that helps you be sorry for your sins and find a place of true repentance. One last question for you guys. You're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet. Why would you put on a parachute?
So you don't die when you hit the ground.
And your motivation is fear. And that fear is your friend, not your enemy, because it's making you put on a parachute. Can you see that? And guys, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life. You're going to think about what we talked about?
I will.
When are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus rather than in your own goodness?
Today.
Right away.
And when are you going to get right with God?
Right away.
Can I pray with you guys?
Of course.
Can I pray with you?
Definitely.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I am.
Okay, let's bear in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for Rachel and her desire to get right with you. I pray this day she will think of her secret sins and find a place of true sorrow and genuine repentance. You'd grant to her, and may she understand the love that you have for her, and this day be born again with a new heart, new desires, with the knowledge she has everlasting life, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
I'm going to give you a Gospel of John anyway, if that's okay.
Okay.
And a book that I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible, and a little booklet called Save Yourself Some Pain. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, let me grab them. May they catch a glimpse of your holiness and your love expressed on that cross. And this day may they find a place of true contrition, sorrow for sin, and genuine repentance. Be born again with the knowledge they have everlasting life as a free gift, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are all fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good.
No, it's not. Not according to God's word. The heart is deceitful above all things.
Amen.
And desperately wicked.
Amen.
You've heard of Jeopardy?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you some questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Category is the Bible. Can you handle that?
Absolutely.
What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Do you know?
The Old Testament.
What's the last book of the Bible?
Revelation.
The Garden of Eden. Is that the last book?
Who betrayed Jesus?
Judas.
Eve. Right? Or no, that'd be Lucifer, didn't he?
Who was the first man that God created?
Adam.
In likenesses of himself. No, that was his son.
Who betrayed Jesus?
One of his disciples, right? John, Matthew.
Who walked on water to go and see Jesus?
Peter. Is it Moses?
People love answering questions, so we've produced a tract called Mind Game. The wildly popular television program Jeopardy often has the Bible as a category, so it's appropriate to have questions about the Bible. Mind Game has 10 easy questions, the last one being, according to the Bible, how do I get to heaven?
Well, according to the Bible, how do you get to heaven? You put all your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You trust him, as Ray says, as you'd trust a parachute, and you believe that he died for your sins. There you go. And you truly believe it. And the Pope, when he said that there are some sinners, everyone is a sinner. Like, that's the part that when I saw that, I was like, no, there are not some sinners. Everyone on earth is a sinner. Not some, all. Everybody's inherently good. The heart is inherently good by nature. Bible doesn't say that. You have to have a change of heart. See, that's what we talked about earlier when we said people have a head full of knowledge, but a heart full of nothing, right? Again, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm just speaking truth, you know, like Jesus did. Anyway, that's going to do it for Rise Up today, folks. I love this show. Can I just tell you? Absolutely love this show. I absolutely love being here with all of you. It opens my heart. It opens my mind. It allows the Holy Spirit to flourish and multiply the word. It is really great. But again, ladies and gentlemen, the overall message today. Don't bend the word to fit your agenda. Bend yourself to fit God's will. And don't allow too many people in the mix. Have a relationship with God and Jesus. Trust them and them only. And if you learn something from somebody like me, take it, pray on it, and go talk to God. He'll tell you whether what I'm saying is valid or invalid. I love all of you. Mike Crispy, Unafraid, comes up next. And I have a very special 2-hour Live from America today with two guests, Gavin Wax and JJ Carroll. I'll see you then. Hopefully you guys have a great morning. See you later.